Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
I'm supposed to wait till the on-air light's on. Okay, hey, good Saturday afternoon. Hi, this is The Drift with Ed Bondarenka. Well, there's been a coup d'etat here. We had a Mueller investigation, and we did a 25th Amendment, and we removed Gary from power for the day. So it's yourself. It's yourself and us, me. Can I get a do-over? Ed Bondarenka. I'm sitting in here with Gary Frank. And your name, Pastor Rick?
Pastor okay. Rick.
Pastor Rick, yes. Pastor Rick Dietering is in the studio with us. So we are live on the air, so I can't go back and edit any of my little faux pas there.
Are you sure we're live?
I'm not going to pinch me, and I'm not going to ask you to pinch me either. So, yes. And just to tell you that this is the Drift Radio Show, and what we do is we review the news at thedailydrift.com because...
Well, it's the news you need to know.
No, I'm glad you feel that way. Do you feel that way about it, Pastor Rick?
It is the news you need to know.
Okay, great. So I'm going to take it that it's the news we need to know. And today's also brought to you by the Current newspaper and the Cheryl Stockwell Academy. And Pastor Rick was kind enough to get me a newspaper, which I neglected to do, so that I could pull out the ad here and read you what you need to know about the Cheryl.
And you
Stockwell
do need to know about it because
Academy.
It is the news you need to
yes,
know.
It's the ad you need to know, Cheryl Stockwell Academy. Big ad, too. Oh, we'll find out someday. Yes, sir. Yes, we will. Another time we will. I'll tell you about them later. How's that sound? So, did anything happen in the news this week?
No, nothing.
Slow week. All we had was Notre Dame and Mueller and the Democrats losing their mind, and that's about it.
Okay, well, what do you want to talk about?
Notre Dame, Mueller, Democrats losing their mind.
So who did Notre Dame play?
Wrong Notre Dame. We're going back to the one in France.
Oh.
The cathedral.
Okay.
Great big.
Oh, the one that caught on fire? That one?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. What do you know about that? Was there any suspicious activity?
You know, it's funny you should say that. I honestly believe they were doing a lot of reconstruction on that, and it was probably an accident. But then my wife, she did a study of how many churches and cathedrals in France mm-hmm. that had been arsoned over the last four years. And the little red dots they put for every church and cathedral that was burnt was red, and it turned the map of France red. There was just so many of them.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. That's just the arson, not counting the
vandalism. That's just
arson. Yeah.
Oh, St. Patrick's Cathedral, that's in France too, right?
St. Patrick's?
That's the one that the guy took the gas.
No, that's in St. Peter's.
St. Peter's?
That's
in
New York.
New York. New York.
Yeah, yeah, I knew that.
And he actually looked at
it's
going to New
Peter's
Jersey
or
first.
St. Patrick's.
You know,
St.
Peter's
and
is in Rome.
Right. It's sad. I was talking to a friend earlier today that these sick, there has to be something to help these mentally ill people. They see something like this, and all of a sudden, we don't know what caused Notre Dame, but he wanted to be a copycat right off the bat. He all of a sudden looked for a place to torch, and luckily they caught him.
Yes. What do you know about him?
Very little.
Adjunct professor.
Oh, yeah, he's a professor.
Adjunct
teaching
professor.
Teaching our kids.
Yeah. Yep. My assumption was, I shouldn't make assumptions like that, but my assumption was that he's a liberal.
You know? No, and I think he was mentally ill. And I think
what I said.
You did. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, we don't have the rim shot here. I think we have in this country, we have neglected our mentally ill in this country. And in some cases, we've ignored signs and symptoms. I mean, let's face it. There was a movie out about, you know, what was that? How to Kill 15?
Oh, yeah.
Without saying a word.
Yeah.
We have to keep our eyes open, especially in today's world, for people who have evil on their mind. Look at this girl that wanted to go up, and she was just fascinated with Columbine. And she ended up making threats to schools and everything else. She ended up killing herself during the manhunt because they were looking for her. She bought a shotgun. She bought it legally, but luckily, she didn't carry out the threats she was making.
Unfortunately, she carried it out on herself.
Can imagine this tormented soul. She was just 19 or 18, and I can't imagine. Yeah.
What causes somebody to do that? Who has she been listening to? That would be interesting to find out.
And what medications
was she on? What were they prescribing for her?
I really feel that we have our schools have gotten so busy in indoctrination of one thing that they're looking past and they're being tolerant of people that are showing signs of severe mental illness and doing nothing about it. I don't want to just blame it on the school systems. I'm blaming this on society in itself. There's a lot of society that they are, in the name of tolerance, ignoring mental illness and not helping these people get help. And so instead of saying, hey, you are sick and you need help, they're saying, oh, poor, that's just who you are, and we're going to accept you the way you are and kumbaya and do nothing to help them. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they're out there trying to burn down churches, shoot up schools.
They're even making it a little worse than that, Rick. They run for Congress.
You know,
get elected, unfortunately, right. Or for.
I'm sorry, Gary. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine. They're making it a little worse than that. They're making it illegal to step in and try and help these people,
or to criticize them, to say, you know, I think you need help. Who are you to challenge my worldview?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm a trained counselor and. It breaks my heart when they sit in there, and I'll have, like, if I'm going to be, and I cannot talk too many specifics, but if I'm going to counsel, let's say, a teenager, the parents say in there, say, well, these are their triggers. You're not allowed to talk to them about this, 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 and this. And guess what? Because they're the guardians. Guess what I can't do? I can't talk
to
them about this, 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 and this. Yeah. Which, if they're saying this is what I can't talk about, that tells me generally that's where the problem is.
That makes them enablers, then.
Yeah.
Then you just have to do a generic exorcism.
Not again.
I've tried that on Gary. It doesn't work. You know, he's still Gary.
I made Ken from Livonia wait long enough. Maybe he has something to chime in about Notre Dame.
Ken, don't talk about the Lutherans.
Ken.
Yeah, I did want to chime in. A lot of people have been shedding tears regarding the fire that has occurred at Notre Dame. And I'm not one of them.
Because it's not Lutheran.
Because I'm shedding tears over, do your history check. I'm shedding tears over the thousands of people innocently murdered at Notre Dame because of their religious beliefs. You had Protestants, you had Jews, you had women, children. These murders had the sanction of the Roman Catholic Church. And are we talking about that? No.
All right, hold on, Ken. Pastor Rick has a comment.
If you look at the history of any nation, whether it be France, United States, even Canada, you know, no country's ever done perfect things. We have things in our history we're not too proud of. I know Ken has come out and spoke out against the tearing down in the past when we talked about tearing down of statues and stuff of people historical figures because they're South and they represented slave ownership and stuff like that. I don't agree with everything that happened in France. I don't agree with everything the Catholic Church did. Actually, I agree with very little of what the Catholic Church has done in history. Actually, since 500 AD, I agree with almost nothing the Catholic Church. But you are not anti-Catholic. No,
per se.
But what I do say is Notre Dame is part of world history, and it is a wonderful piece of architecture that speaks of the architecture of its time, and is a wonderful piece of art that can be appreciated for art's sake. And I shed a tear. I am not Catholic. I'm definitely not French. You haven't seen me surrender one time, all right? And I understand the history of the church. I understand Ken's frustration with what the church has done in the past. What the church has done in the past is terrible. But we should not sit there and celebrate the wiping out of history. This is a beautiful piece of architecture that speaks for its time, and it reaches out beyond just religious. Let's understand that this has also affected some of our literature. Take a look at Hunchback of Notre Dame, right?
Well, let's look at it this. I'm cutting you off. I'm sorry.
If you study the humanities, you're going to study the Baroque and the heavy architecture of the time. And you know what they say, if it's not Baroque, don't fix it.
Well, the one thing Well, the one thing I can say is this, is that my church, we still hold firm that the Pope is the Antichrist and that the Catholic Church is the Church of the Antichrist.
Well, you know what?
And I just can't shed a tear over a building that there again is the site of so many murders.
Well, if everybody
with men, women, and children.
Okay, you made that point, Ken. But it brought up a similar thought along the lines of during the French Revolution, the secularists took over that building.
Yes,
and that was their
point of the guillotine was coming down on many necks there.
Yes, so even in an unreligious, and in fact, an anti-religious structure like that, it was a symbol of death of many. So, nonetheless,
It's a piece of history.
It's a piece of history. A lot of artwork in it. It is a symbol of Christianity in many people's minds. And the thing that strikes me is wait, give me a second. What it is a case of if that was a target of terrorist attack of a Muslim extremist, which we don't know yet. And we say, well, I don't care if they burn that down. The famous words are, first they came for the Catholics, and I didn't say anything.
Then they came for the Jews, yes. I didn't say anything. And now they're coming for me, and there's no one here to say anything.
Exactly.
Right. Go
ahead, Ken.
Well, my last point I just want to bring up, since it's also getting coverage in the news regarding Notre Dame. Now, the Roman Catholic Church is known for creating false relics. And the one in particular that I keep hearing about that is definitely a fraud, the crown of thorns worn by Jesus is not.
We're off track here.
Located at
I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily believe it's crown of thorns either. Don't know. Don't care. Don't care if there's a sliver of the cross there. Does nothing for my faith whatsoever. My faith is in the one who we celebrated the death of yesterday and we'll celebrate the resurrection of tomorrow. So look, I got other callers.
Can I give your listeners a recommendation while we're talking about Easter too?
I got other topics to get on to, Ken, okay? Okay? I'm sorry, another time. Thanks.
All right, take care.
You too. Happy Resurrection Day. So, we've made Phil last long time. So, Phil, what do you got?
Well, howdy, Pastor Rick and Ed and Gary and the whole gang there. On that story about that 18-year-old getting
Phil,
a shotgun and going
Phil,
and
Phil,
doing,
give me one second.
What she was going to do.
Phil, can you hear me?
The rest of the story and caught her name.
Okay. Uh-oh. Phil, can you hear me?
Muslim.
Phil, are you on speakerphone? We're hard to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Forgive me. Normal?
Let's try it again.
Normal?
Go ahead.
Okay, we're back to normal. Okay, I heard her name, and it sounds like...
Hey, Phil, you're going to have to call us back on another line or move your phone because we can't hear it. You're coming through
deep in a rain barrel.
Right, and we want people to hear what you want to say.
Now, and the girl's name sounded sure like a Muslim to me. It was not an American name. Okay, they're just covering up the story. This is jihad. And
oh,
the rash of these jihad attacks on a Christian, this is our main holy thing of the whole year is Easter, Resurrection Day, and they have they always do that.
Excuse me, Phil. Phil, it was hard to hear you. Were you nod your head yes or no? Did you did you say that the girl, the 18-year-old, was on a jihad mission?
You betcha. Yeah, I heard her name, and she's. Suggest her that she's a Muslim. That's her agenda.
Okay, I know nothing about that. I'll look that up when I get home or at break. That's very interesting.
Yeah, if that's true, we'll find that out for sure.
Yeah,
the Notre Dame and everything is a rash of attacks against everything Christian at the Holy Week.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, thanks for bringing that to our attention, and we'll look into it.
Do you mind if I give
all
a...
All right.
Do you mind
all
if
right.
I...
God bless.
God bless.
Happy Easter to y'all.
Same to you.
You mind if I give a quick promo to my show? Because I want to explain something real quick.
Just man.
I know it. Hey, listen, folks, I know tomorrow is Resurrection Sunday, and Pastor Max last week and I spent a lot of time on Resurrection and Easter. I've been wanting to get Ed in on my show for a long time to talk about a certain book, and this is the Saturday that worked out. So Ed Hoffman, not Ed Bondarenko from Ypsilanti, no. Ed Hoffman, is going to be joining us on our show to talk about a book that's that both he and I love dearly. And so it's not about the Resurrection Sunday, but we covered that last week, and I'm going to be covering more of it next week, so we got
it
surrounded.
All right, in an hour you're going to do a promo for The Drift, right?
Yeah, I always will. I always mention you guys.
Okay.
I say, where Ed, that guy that was on before me.
Notre Dame. So, I suppose, are we done with this topic? Anybody else get any more insight?
What I'd like to say is that if everybody continues to go back to the past of all the slaughters that took place hundreds of years ago, nobody's ever going to get over anything. The Armenians got a beef. The Muslims got a beef. The Christians got, everybody's got a beef. Let's move on till tomorrow.
Let's empty out every museum in the world, because they each one will represent a society that had something bad in their past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to be like the Taliban that was blowing up Buddhas because
they wanted.
You know, I mean, I'm of two minds about that. I don't like Buddhas in my house, but if they want to be on the side of a wall and somebody put them up there, they have an archaeological interest. I'm not worshiping.
Muslim Brotherhood wanted to destroy the pyramids, the museum Cairo. They wanted to get rid of all this history. They did it in Iran. They did it in Iraq. Destroyed it because of religious bias, and they're destroying art. They're destroying history. How else are we going to understand the history of these people except by looking at their past? And if you destroy it all, we have nothing left.
Right, exactly.
And the parallel here in the United States is the Democrats or the kids who run around destroying the Confederate monuments.
Well, look, we have universities tearing down statues of Christopher Columbus. When you and Ed, when you and I were in school, and you too, when we were growing up in school, Christopher Columbus was a sign of, hey.
He came to visit our room and tell us all about it.
Oh, did he? Yeah. No, we looked at Christopher Columbus as a way of to challenge us to go out and go beyond what we know, and to become explorers of life. And this is what he said. Now, yes, Christopher Columbus did some bad things, but let's not just judge everything that he did based on the bad he did. He did some good, too. Every one of us has bad in our life, and if we're only going to be judged by what we did wrong, we'll never appreciate when somebody does something right. We can't.
And even if you have a beef against Christopher Columbus, you don't change it to Indigenous Peoples Day.
Let's face it. He crossed the Atlantic, what, three times?
Yeah.
He got lost all three times. He wasn't a great sailor.
No, he kept bumping into Central America, you know? Yeah. He was trying to get to India.
But he thought he was in India.
Yeah, well, he kept bumping into it.
He got lost.
Oh, this place again?
Four, I think so. So he wasn't a great navigator.
Vespucci managed to get America named after himself. That's what I don't understand. That guy's got a good marketer.
He married well.
Yeah, I suppose so.
He married into the Medea family.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's.
But back to.
I'm an archaeologist.
Notre Dame.
I'm an archaeologist, and I love to dig up history, not to destroy it, but to preserve it and learn from it. Notre Dame is a beautiful piece of architecture. It's a beautiful piece of art. It's something to be appreciated for no other reason than that. And
for France,
I think
it's
we have
a
to be sorry.
Treasure.
Yeah, we have to be sorry when a world treasure like that is destroyed or even damaged. It's going to take years and years and decades to get that back in shape.
Well, and remember, that building was built as an edifice towards the glory of God. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you cannot appreciate it for anything other than the fact that it elevates faith.
Yes, exactly. And the interest, what?
Nothing. I just love it when Gary says stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. What kind of converted to me? You know, I like what you said about everybody has a flaw, which basically boils down to nobody's good enough to get into heaven because they got something wrong with them.
Yeah, that's why we needed the resurrection, the death on the cross.
Yeah, that's why somebody had to die yesterday and be unless you.
Well, he didn't die yesterday. We recognize and
celebrate his death. Right. Yes, and then why we will celebrate his resurrection tomorrow because he offers us life with him.
Yeah.
I got that part right.
You did.
Oh, thank you.
You did.
Well,
you're a regular theologian now.
Yeah. So, anyways,
pastor.
Back to Notre Dame.
Ed.
My goodness. Well, I was an assistant pastor at one point.
Assistant?
Yes,
now
assistant.
Elevated.
Yes. So, let's see now.
And then the rest of his congregation moved to South America.
He was an altar boy, read from. I was a staunch Catholic, too.
Yeah.
But Notre Dame, so it's a national treasure. And Macron has promised to to rebuild it. Money's flowing in everywhere. And what's the reaction of the man on the street in Paris?
Mad, because the money is going towards
there. I want that money.
I want that money. Like, it's theirs. They deserve it. No, they don't. People who love that decided they wanted to put their money, into rebuilding it, and they have that right.
I think the assumption was that there was going to be federal funds, because all the churches are owned by the government. Just like in Germany, all the churches are owned by the government. And the priests in Germany are all paid from a government treasury. And I believe it's the same thing in France also. So they nationalized the religion.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's...
It's not the federal money. And it's when these billionaires were throwing in within minutes after it started. Two billionaires kicked in $300 million.
Yeah, and the GoFundMe.
And then now other people are kicking in. And these people are getting mad that these people are rich enough to throw money in that, and they feel like they deserve it. And this is the mindset. France is a socialist country, and therefore they're saying, no, they shouldn't be having this money to give. That should be going to the whole society.
I hope they don't use union wages.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I hope they don't use union wages to
Prevailing wage,
But, yeah, it's... No, we almost lost, and great damage has done to that building, and it is sad.
It's a symbol.
I would be sad. Imagine this. Now, Ken was, you know, brought through religious. If a piece of art like the Mona Lisa was destroyed, or look at the crying of all the art that was destroyed in World War II, you know, it had no religious connotation. Take it, just accept this beautiful architecture for what it is, beautiful architecture that has been destroyed and can't be, I mean, it's going to be repaired, but it's going to be fixed,
not
but it's not going to be.
800-year-old timbers that
but not
took up 52
exactly.
acres, yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I'm afraid of what the spire is going to look like when the modernists get done with it, you know? Stainless steel girders and I don't
mirror, you know. Mirrored lights.
Oh,
and,
my goodness,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And the gargoyles will be Barbie dolls and who knows?
You can't have gargoyles. Yeah. Can have transgendered gargoyles.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's. I think when we lose great art like this in the world, that this is something for the world to be upset about.
And there's that Hoffman shaking his head in the window. Like, you guys know nothing about art.
Hey, I know what I like.
Yeah.
And when I saw that picture of those dogs playing poker, I fell in love.
On velour. Right?
Yes. Yeah. That now that's art.
Yes. Which brings up the point. I had there was a series called Civilization on PBS, and Kenneth Clark hosted it. And it opened up with, it was all about civilization. It opens up, and he's looking at the camera, and he's saying, I can't define civilization. I've tried. I can't come up with a definition of civilization, but I know it when I see it. And over his shoulder, in camera view, was Notre Dame. And he turned around and pointed to it and said, and that's it.
True enough.
You take a look at it and you sit there and you say, mankind was here because this exists. Whether it be Notre Dame or a piece of pot you dig up in the dirt, you say mankind was here because this exists. And that's how you know there was some civilization there, is by the marks that man leaves behind.
Yeah,
and even if it dates back 200,000 years.
Yeah.
And it was built as a monument.
Except the
with
world
good
isn't 200,000 years old, so it can't date back that far. But if it did, that'd be cool, because I'd be a time traveler.
Well, we've got 30 seconds left, so let's get Joe from Wyandotte on in 30. No, Joe, we're going to hold you over until after the break.
I was going to say he can't talk in 20 seconds.
I wanted to see it happen. All right, well, let's see now. Anybody know how to...
I'm glad you got in the death, burial, and resurrection in the first half hour. Christ died for our sins. We are all sinners, as we said.
Yep.
And we all fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, since we cannot not on our own merits enter into heaven, we need Christ's death to pay and atone for our sins.
Now, that promo I'm good with. I'm down with that promo. That's good, yeah. So we've got, what, 20 seconds left?
Well, then let me finish. And then 3 days later, after he was buried, he arose. And we know he arose, and we know it was special because he then walked 7 miles to Emmaus.
There you go. So who knows the name of the actor Lawton? Thank you, Charles Lawton.
Sure.
Hunchback of Notre Dame. I'm sorry.
Let's have a contest. Ask us if we know, and then answer before we even have the question.
Yeah, well, that's it. Hey, folks, come on back after the break. We guarantee you a much...
Sanctuary.
A much better show. Come
the
on,
bells.
Back. The number's 4-8-7-3-4-8-4-2-1600.
822-1600.
Thank you, Rick.
People are always on the move, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep up with the latest in political talk? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels may take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Steve Gruber, Theron X, and Dana Lash. Call 734-971-1600 today. 1600 AM, 92.7 FM, Wham Radio. We are American made.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. House Democrats demanding the release of the complete Mueller report. This GOP congressman wishes his colleagues would focus on other things.
I don't think they're going to stop, which is unfortunate for the country. What we need to do is move on and address the immigration issue and a bunch of other issues. And frankly, when it comes to this Russia issue, what we need to do is find out how it started in the first place.
Ohio's Jim Jordan. 20 years to the day, the people of Littleton, Colorado are pausing to honor the lives lost in one of the nation's worst school shootings.
Remember, reflect, recommit. That's the theme of today's service here at Clement Park, which abuts Columbine High School. Later today, there will be an invite-only memorial service for the victims, their families, and survivors. 20 years ago today, 12 high school students and one of their teachers, Dave Sanders, were killed by two classmates who ultimately ended the massacre by taking their own lives in the campus library.
Fox's Alicia Cunha. This is Fox News.
Experience and quality. These are two important words when it comes to auto body repairs. The last thing you need is more stress. That's why City Body on East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's historic depot town offers the finest quality collision repair service available. And they guarantee their work in writing. City Body can accommodate any collision or glass replacement need. As Ypsilanti's oldest and most recognized repair shop, City Body wants each customer's visit to be a positive experience, and they work diligently towards that goal. Customer services include free loaner cars for qualifying customers, rental cars, hassle-free insurance claims, drive-in estimating with estimates given in 30 minutes, and even towing if your car is undrivable. City Body, 20 East Cross Street in Ypsilanti's Depot Town, and open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 734-482-4737 or visit citybody.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing care facilities you've ever seen. All WellBridge locations offer a resort-like atmosphere, and their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. Here's former patient Evelyn Danielson from Brighton.
It was excellent. It wasn't only just the physical part of it, doing your exercises with them. It was the RNs, even down to the kitchen people that came in and said, "What can we fix you? What do you like? We'll try to do it for you." And everything with a smile, I couldn't get over. I would heartily recommend WellBridge.
For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge. In Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team, WellBridge invites everyone to learn more about them at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
Alrighty then. Once again, welcome back to the Drift Radio Show. I'm your host, Ed Bondarenka. Gary Wellens is off, so we found the best Gary we could get to replace him. It's Gary Frank. You may know him as Gary from Hamtramck. We've given away his
Hazel Park.
Oh man, I need my medication. Hold on a second. Let me take a sip of medication here. That's better. So we are the Drift Radio Show. Did I get my name properly?
I think so.
Okay,
Ed Ypsilanti, Ed, is that?
Yes, yes, Ed from Ipsy, yes. And we are sponsored by the current newspaper. It's where you go for the news
you need to know.
The place you need, the stuff you need to buy. So actually, the news you need to know. We have a lot of articles in here. Somebody complained to me on the phone, a nice lady. She complained to me a couple weeks ago, you're just too conservative. And I said, so we have articles on horticulture, gardening, Social Security, veterinary articles, and we have maybe a column by Dick on guns, and we have Theron's, you know, Wham's pages, and you can't overlook anything else and just take what you need out of there, plus all the coupons? No. Okay, have a nice day, lady. I don't know, liberals. Yep. So, anyways, one of the proud sponsors of the current newspaper is the Cheryl Stockwell Preparatory Academy. Experience the difference. It's a growing district. It's tuition-free, okay? So if you're concerned about the level of education that your kids are getting, this is a charter school. It's a top-performing charter school. It has a full international baccalaureate diploma program. I mean, come on. Take advantage of this. It's your tax dollars paying for it. Go for what's better. Now, granted, your kids are going to have to wear blazers and skirts, you know, but what that means is they're not going to be arguing with each other about who wore what to school that day first. There's not going to be any fights over tennis shoes. They're going to be focused on their education. And you want them focused on your education. So, once again, experience the difference. Cheryl Stockwell Preparatory Academy. That's 810-225-9940. Once more, that's 810-229-9940. Experience the difference. Yeah.
Sounds great. I think that those type schools are the future of America.
They
because
certainly
our public schools have gone right into the crap hole.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be shut down and reworked completely. And so these places are going to carry on the future of America.
Okay, so we had Joe from Wyandotte called in. He wanted to talk about Notre Dame. Joe?
Yeah, well, I wanted to expound upon go off of something you said, which was, they are giving of their own money. And, of course, the socialists are up in arms about it, and the Democrat socialists in this country would also be. 2 Corinthians 9:7. One must give according to his own heart, not under compulsion. Jesus was not a socialist. Redistribution is not charity. Jesus did not say it's okay to steal from one neighbor to give to another neighbor. That's not how it works. And I'm tired of hearing liberals bring up render unto Caesar. No, that is a misapplication. You do not get to surrender your Christian brothers keepers duties unto the state. That's not what that passage means.
Okay. You're absolutely right. And along those lines, you remind me of something where this woman, Mary, a known woman about town, came in and anointed Jesus' feet with her hair, and it was costly spikenard. It was very, very expensive ointment. Year's wages is what I've read about it. And I think it was Judas, who betrayed Jesus later, said, hey, this money could have been used for the poor. You know, instead she's poured it all over your feet. And Jesus' response was, hey, poor you'll have always. Me, you don't have so long. You know? And so many words. That's Ed's translation.
Yeah, so, but there are so many things that the left twists and contorts in the scriptures to meet their worldview use their Christian faith to shape their worldview. That's why one cannot be a real Christian and be a Democrat.
My real favorite is judge not. They have no idea what judge not means, but they like
to
use it.
They don't read the whole scripture.
Yeah.
They leave out the whole second half of judge not.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we've had enough theology today. What do you think, Gary?
Well, also the
all
same.
Right, take care, my friends. I love you guys.
All right, thanks, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for that insight.
All right, Joe. Another thing that they do is they take be kind to the stranger, or treat the stranger like your friend, and all this stuff. He wasn't talking about invaders and people coming in mass hordes. He's talking about travelers and individuals coming through your town,
mm-hmm.
not to abuse them or take advantage of them.
Funny you mention that, because I just taught in my Wednesday night Bible study a couple weeks ago about the Good Samaritan. And then I wrote about it on my blog. And, you know, this lawyer is asking Jesus, you know, what are the best commandments? What do I got to do to get into heaven? And Jesus says, what do you think? And the guy tells him, and he must have been listening to Jesus because he quoted Jesus back. And then Jesus says, Oh, that's good. You did it well. And this guy's a lawyer. No, he has to keep going. Well, then define neighbor. And Jesus does. He tells him the story of the good Samaritan. Well, Samaritans were hated by the Jews, right?
They were off limits.
But who's the hero of the story that Jesus tells? The Samaritan. And then he asked the lawyer, so who was the neighbor here? And the Samaritan, I suppose the Samaritan. He didn't quite say it like that, but I'm paraphrasing. And you know, Jesus says, hey, go down, do likewise. You know, it's, you know, you're absolutely right. You're not going to treat like a neighbor the guy who's coming after you and, you know, burning your churches and invading your property, coming across your southern border.
And abusing your family and your friends.
Yes, exactly. You don't treat those people like neighbors. You treat them like invaders. And there's a different tactic for that. But, you know, there's love your neighbor who is, you know, basically the guy who's willing to live in peace with you.
Right, but legally.
And legally, yes, and legally. So we got Mike from Ann Arbor calling in about the Crusades and the Notre Dame fire. Okay, let's do a little more Notre Dame. I really wanted to talk about Mueller. Can we make it brief, Mike?
Well, I'll try. I studied art history briefly, and Notre Dame was, I think at the time, a architectural, breakthrough. It in itself, the building was is an artifact.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, my question about the Crusades, is there a specific incident that you guys know about that created the Crusades, and why they lasted so long, and could that phenomenon come back, in present time?
Well, it's interesting.
It is back.
It's interesting you should mention that, because Jerusalem, which had been a kind of a waterhole of religions where everybody kind of dwelt there peacefully. Well, then the Mohammedan Empire came upon it, took it over, and was known to be persecuting the Christians there. Yeah. And they called out for help, and the kings of Europe decided to respond. I'm giving you the quick classics, Junior Classics Illustrated version here. And it became a long struggle because the supply route from Europe to Jerusalem to try and knock these guys out for good reasons, it was stretched thin. And Saracens, go ahead.
Back in antiquity. That's when you only fought wars during like 4 or 5 months out of the year. The other time was for harvest in the winter. So wars were a completely different situation back in the time.
Yeah, you might sit it out for a while and then go back again the next season. And it was just a struggle. Let's just put it that way, okay? But that was what it was. It was the Islamic attack on Jerusalem, which is, the holy city of the Jews and Christians, and has just kind of been made a holy city by Islam.
And in 1944, 45, mm-hmm. when they made Israel a state, that's when they started the new Crusades.
Yeah.
Because Islam wants to take it out again.
Did that help?
Are Mike? You there?
Okay. Well, I hope that helped. Thanks for calling in, Mike. All right. Walter.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, man.
Brief.
All right. Hey, I got a question.
Okay.
Let me make a statement first, a little sidebar here. You guys are talking about the left misquoting the scriptures, misapplying the scriptures. You know why? It's easy, man, because they quote from the LeBron James Bible, not the King James Bible.
Okay, got that.
They quote from the LeBron James Bible. Get a question about the guy that threw the kid off the balcony.
I know nothing about him.
You guys think there's a great cover-up?
I know nothing about him. I don't know I know nothing. I didn't even read about it. I saw it. You know anything?
Just that it happened. That's all
I
know.
Yeah, is there a cover-up? I don't know.
From the news media and all the Democrat Party and all the major news networks cover up for Islamic
radical Islamic terrorists. I suspect, since we haven't heard more about it and it hasn't become a CNN tragedy like the missing airliner or any, the girl who got lost in Mexico, went on night after night, an investigation.
Yeah, for 7 months.
Yeah, I trust that there's something they don't want us to know. So, that's all I can infer from that.
When they make excuses about radical Islamic terrorism attacks, they always refer to the facts. are not known yet. The details are not known. It's, I call it the great cover. But I heard this. I heard he was a Somalian. He has a foreigner name, but I heard he was a Somalian. When I first saw his picture, first thing that came to my mind, he looked like a Somalian. I might be wrong, but this is what I heard. And I heard it's been all out on Facebook.
Was this at the Mall of America?
Yeah.
That makes sense, then.
Hey, you know something? I want to give you, in fact, I'll give everybody who's listening a little insight on radio. So you got this hour-long show, and you prepare for it. And you really agonize over it because you don't want to be caught left without content. You don't want any dead air. You certainly want to have correct phone numbers in front of you or the people that are advertising. You take a stab at that anyhow. And then you have this document you print out like Gary does for me every week, and then I print it out for Gary and myself and Pastor Rick, and there's this list of things you want to talk about. And at the very, very bottom of the list here was Notre Dame, and I don't even have audio for that. And the whole first page is all Mueller report, and we have 12 minutes left in the show.
Real quick on Mueller.
Thank you.
Mueller looks like a drunk version of John Kerry. You know they look like twins, right?
I don't know about
Kerry.
Drunk.
That's
but he
John
does.
Kerry straight up, man.
Well, he's got the Lurch look to him.
Looks like Deputy Dog.
You rang. That's what I think of Lurch.
I'm out of here.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
See you, Walter. Well,
wow. Yes.
Well, let's go with Mueller.
Okay. Well, let's start off with the audio. Derek, could you play the Brennan Clapper Comey on Trump audio just to set the tone?
That this is nothing short of treasonous because it is a betrayal of the nation. He is giving aid and comfort to the enemy.
Is there influence, whether witting or unwitting, by the Russians over President Trump? And you know, in the intervening year and a half or so, his behavior hasn't done much, at least in my mind, to allay that concern.
I don't know whether the current president of the United States with prostitutes peeing on each other in Moscow in 2013. It's possible. But I don't know.
I mean, where do you have to come from to say something like that? You know, FBI director and saying it's possible.
I don't know, right? If you don't know, then keep your mouth shut.
But he knew the roots of the Steele dossier, right? He knew it was a false document when he made that comment. So these guys, I mean, you got Brennan, Clapper, and Comey, the top three counter-espionage
agencies,
intelligence community agencies, and they come out with this stuff. Oh, like he's treasonous. He's a traitor. I don't know where he's coming from. I don't know what's happening. So would you play the Mark Stein? This is Mark Stein on the Tucker Show. He had something to say about that.
Oh, if you just float around in the flotsam and jetsam of the shallows of your own myopia long enough, then the whole Russia collusion thing makes sense. To me, this report is fascinating. It's written in a kind of pseudo-legalese way. They've thrown everything in there, although they don't have a theory of the case. So hookers in a Moscow hotel and Trump wanting to build a building there are all somehow part of a grand theory of the case they never explain. And the most revealing thing to me is on page one of the report. We all want to know how this thing got started. And they claim it's George Papadopoulos being fingered by my old pal Alexander Downer, the Australian High Commissioner to the UK. I've known him on and off for 15 years. The fact is, to put it in Andy McCarthy terms, not only do they not have anything beyond a reasonable doubt, not only does it not meet the civil standard of a preponderance of the evidence, they had no probable cause for launching this thing.
Exactly.
And that ought to disturb every single... They have a nobody, George Papadopoulos, having a set-up drink in a London wine bar. And on the basis of that, they destroy Carter Page's life, George Papadopoulos' life. This is disgraceful, and the idea of the government investigating its political opposition, that's Venezuela. If it moves to Washington, we're all in big trouble.
Totally wrecked an entire term of the presidency and overturned the will of voters.
Absolutely.
And you're absolutely right. On
you were dead on right about that, Tucker.
It's so depressing that I'm hoping we can ignore it forever after.
So I think he summed it up pretty well there. We know that Peter Strzok, he bailed on the investigation early, even though he was on Mueller's team and he got kicked off. But we're given to understand that Strzok, there's documents that say Strzok said, well, there's really nothing there to pursue. You know, so why did it take Mueller so long to figure out there was nothing there to pursue?
Well, in this is a complete and utter proof that the federal government of the United States is completely corrupt and beyond redemption. All of this goes straight to the top. All of it goes right up to Obama and his program, his plan to fundamentally change the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump ran against that, and he knew it. Donald Trump won, so in his mind, and all these people decided that they were going to stop it, and they did everything in their power and their might as the highest level ranking members of the state to do whatever damage they could do to Trump, and miraculously, he prevailed. Nothing was done on his behalf with the Russians, not one time. If it had been, they would have found it.
You know, you bring up that point, and so here's Brian Williams from NBC News, and he's talking to Jay Sekulow, the president's attorney, and he's asking him about this. Derek, please. Thank you.
I've been joined by Jay Sekulow, who is on the president's legal team. Counselor, thank you very much for joining us.
Sure.
My first question, I'm afraid, is going to verge on plain English. Where did the attorney general get off with that characterization this morning, including four mentions that there was no collusion? What document was he reading compared to the one we're left with?
Well, page two of the document says the investigation did not establish that members of the Trump campaign coordinated with the Russian government in its election of interference activities, in its election interference activities. So it's right from the document itself.
Have you read part one?
I have read part one and part two.
You find good news in here for the president and the administration?
The investigation did not, page 181, the investigation did not establish that the contacts described in volume one, that's the Russian contacts, amounted to an agreement to commit any violation of federal criminal law, including foreign influence and campaign finance laws. Yeah, I think it's a very good win.
So, yeah, the left is not going to let this go. Nadler wants the unredacted document. I've got the Mueller PDF. Have you downloaded it yet?
No.
I've got it. I was looking at it. And actually, so little of it is redacted. And when you look at what's redacted, I was going to bring up a couple instances of it here, but we're out of time. It's personal information. It's names. And in some cases, it's sources. It's who in the Russian group told us about this, what was going on. And they just refuse to see the fact that there is nothing there. Like Jay Sekulow just said, oh, I'm looking at page one. There's nothing there.
Well, they don't care if there's anything there or not. Their agenda is to get rid of Trump.
Yes,
that's their
agenda. Fight a holding action.
Right, to make his presidency ineffective as possible, which they're not doing. He's being fantastically effective in the things he wants to do. He probably would have done five times better if he would have gotten the Republicans to work with him.
Yeah.
But they're not either, so because they're part of the problem. The government of the United States of America is a bigger problem than Al-Qaeda or ISIS or any other foreign threat.
Well, the media says going out and they're saying, well, I've heard this on a number of audio and TV clips, that the document clearly shows that the Russians were reaching out to the Trump Organization, reaching out, and that the Trump Organization had a proclivity towards accepting that help, except that the whole document shows nobody in the Trump Organization helped or took that help. They all turned it down. Was it Papadopoulos? No, Papadopoulos was set up. We know that the guy that set up Papadopoulos to meet with him, that he was supposed to meet with, that guy was an FBI informant.
Yeah, the whole thing was
so
a sting operation.
So the FBI controlled that guy, exactly. So they were setting up Papadopoulos so that they could get the Steele dossier introduced in a FISA court.
If it wasn't so Machiavellian, it would be funny. But this is the worst of possibilities when our own government works against itself like that.
Yeah. Once again, they're saying that, you know, all this help was there. I've read a lot of the first chapter, and it shows all these attempts of the Russians to reach out to the Trump administration. And in every case, they came back and said, no, no thanks. There's one guy who's one of the other, not Papadopoulos, the other guy, and his name escapes me at the moment, the other guy who was prosecuted.
Flynn?
Pardon me? No, not Flynn. It was a Trump. He was with the Trump organization for a short period of time also, the committee to elect Trump. And he was oh boy, totally lost it on air. That's really good. That's nearly my notes. He was approached. Totally lost it.
Oh, you're talking about the guy that they were spying on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, oh well. So, would you play the Michael Caputo page 20 or page 61 audio? Now, this is a guy.
Michael Caputo is.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry. Pfizer. To the Trump campaign, he was one of those directly harmed by the Russia investigation, which, as we learned yesterday, turned out to be hollow at its core. And he joins us tonight. Since we've spoken to you, Michael, throughout the duration of this hoax, I can't resist asking you, now that the book has been published, what your final reaction is to it all.
I can only think of one word to describe the Mueller report, and that's mischievous. I really think the Democratic pro-Clinton bias comes out in this report. If we had 13 out of the 19 prosecutors there very strongly in support of Hillary Clinton, you'd know that just by reading these pages.
Yeah,
you know, I was on page 60. Yeah, I was on page 61 of this report where they recounted a Russian named Henry Greenberg giving me a call and offering me dirt on Hillary Clinton. They went through this whole escapade and said it had nothing to do with Russian interference. But nowhere in that one page of the report did they mention that Henry Greenberg had been an FBI informant for 17 years. They somehow missed that fact in that report. And other things were hinky about the page on me. And I got to believe, as somebody who's kind of marginal in this investigation, can you imagine the mischief they were up to with some of the star players?
How could, if you could just rewind, how could they not mention that? If he was on the payroll of...
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, it's not mentioned in the Mueller report what their sources were and how incredible their sources were. The Steele dossier is not shown to be discredited, although we know it was discredited. It's just mentioned. It's a neutral object. Now, I'm wondering how much information... I didn't see it so far in Section 2... But the stuff that backs up the Mueller report, how they got to where they are, how much opening does that leave us to come back at the swamp?
I think a lot. I hope that the swamp is coming down, at least a good part of it, because none of this should have happened, and it's all corruption at the highest level.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining me, Gary. The rest of you who are listening in and calling in, thanks for joining us. Derek, thanks for the great production work. And... this has been the Drift Radio Show. Your host, Ed Bondarenka. Gary will be back next week. It'll be a much better show. So join us then.
Stop beating yourself up.